Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And what a blessing it always is when we assemble ourselves in the Lord's name and come to receive what God has for us. And so I trust that tonight will be no different. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, it is our election of officers and the church. Why do we have election of officers? And this is, I touched on a little bit of this when I was going through our series on why we do what we do, but really I touched on the authority of the church. And but tonight we're going to be looking at just the idea of members in the church and positions in the church and how that God has established it and what we are to continue to do. And the church, this is the New Testament church age. Everything about human history, from the creation of humanity all through the Old Testament, was looking for this particular time that we're living in. And even 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, that was 2,000 years ago, he came to establish the church, but he was looking forward in knowing how long the church would be here. And we are right on at the end of this church age, and it's going to end with the rapture of the church, and then God's going to do some miraculous things with the church in heaven, with the earth, the judgment, and then the millennial reign, and then eternity, and new heaven, new earth, and what a blessing all that's going to be. But it was all designed by God, and this shows us the magnitude of just the very mind of God and his design. And so for some 2,000 years, the church has moved forward. For 2,000 years, God has been working through his church and to establish the things that he wanted established and have the witness to the world, all humanity, so they would be without excuse when they stand before an almighty God. And so in every generation of the New Testament church, people have been without excuse. So they have had the witness, and we want to continue in this generation of this church age, and I believe it could be very well could be the very end of it. We want to make sure that we do our part as a church, and we need God's hand upon our church. We need his enabling, and he does that through the membership of the church. And so let's look here, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, as we want to continue to seek God and abound in accomplishing God's work. That's what we're looking to do as a New Testament church. We've been doing it for 30 years. Just looking to serve the Lord, abounding in the work that he's called us to do, accomplishing what he has the Lighthouse Baptist Church here in this generation to accomplish in our little corner of the earth here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Amen. And we know that he has like-minded and like-faith churches established like this one all around the world, accomplishing his will for humanity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go ahead and stand with me, because here we find that Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, reveals to the church the idea of every member of the church and how God is the one who has established that and orchestrates that. And you're here, if you're here as a member of the church, God had you in mind, and God worked in your life to bring you to this church, and he has planted you in this church for a particular purpose, and I think every one of us need to understand that. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 12, the Bible says this. We're going to be reading verse 12 down to verse 18. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, and it's talking about the body of Christ, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. And that's salvation, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that is what qualifies us to be a part of the body of Christ, salvation. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? And it goes on. It just helps us to understand that there's different parts of the human body, and each one has its own function At the same time, there's different parts of the body of Christ, and everyone has its own function. Amen. And every local called out assembly and every local body. And what do you say local body? Well, the next verse says this. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of the church and how you have designed it and how, Lord, even today in this 21st century, that you have a particular plan for the church and you have a place for every born-again believer within your church. I pray that you'd help us to have that understanding here tonight and be blessed by this night of elections of officers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, we know that the Bible says that we are to go into every area and establish New Testament churches. And we need to go into all the world with the desire to see souls saved. And when those souls are saved, establishing New Testament churches. And in the book of Titus, we find that Paul set Titus to go in to organize every one of the local churches and make them organize as God has plans for the organization of every church, okay? And so we find that this will be true. So in every church, we find that everyone is a body, an individual body in Christ. Now, all of those that are saved in all of the churches will eventually make up the one body of Christ, and we will be raptured as the bride of Christ. But here on this earth, we find that God has the same plan for each and every church that is his. He has given the very same guidelines. We have one head, and the thing that keeps all of the true churches united is the fact that every church is a true biblical church is united by having the head of Christ upon that local body. It has the authority of Jesus Christ on that body. And in every area, if there are local New Testament churches and there are local New Testament bodies of Christ, and in every area, that local New Testament church needs the functioning body to accomplish what God has that church there to accomplish. In order to have a functioning body, God is the one that is the head, and so he is the one that places those in the body that make up the body. That's what he's going through here. That's what we're looking at here. And it says everyone will have different responsibilities, but you're all in the same body. And being a part of the same body, we work together. And there should not be, goes on to say, verse 25, there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And so we study this, and it's a great chapter in the Bible, in this chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and helping us to understand God's plan for the local New Testament church. Every member has their place and work in Christ's body, every one of us. Before we have any positions in the church, and officers have positions in the church, before we have any positions in the church, we are first members of his body. Before I'm the pastor of this local New Testament church, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within me. I've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's salvation. Now we have water baptism allows us to publicly identify with Jesus Christ, and we are to see people saved, and then water baptism to bring them into the local New Testament church. That brings you into the membership of the church. And that is to acknowledge Christ first and foremost, but then that brings you into that local body. And so everyone here, if you're a member of the church, you were either transferred here or you were saved and you were baptized here. And now you're members. We're going to be looking at that in a minute as far as the qualifications and the responsibility of every member of the church. But before any positions, we're first of all members of the body of Christ. And verse 18 speaks to all of us when it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them. I'm one that God set in this church. Everyone that's sitting in the pews here, if you're a member of the church, you're one that God set in this church. He was aware of you. He's aware of your past. He's aware of your qualifications. He's aware of your spiritual gifts. He's aware of everything. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he worked it out and he planned, and everything in your life up to this point led you to this place spiritually. Only God. Only God could do such things. But however you were reached, however, whatever brought you to this church, look, can I tell you, if you're where God wants you to be, and I believe as a member of the church you need to know that you're where God wants you to be, then he orchestrated every bit of it. Some, you know, a little harder because of our own sin and rebellion, but God even works through that. If he allows it to happen, he has a purpose for it. But every one of us, first of all, are members of his body. And then I realize, as a member of his body, I know I'm saved and baptized, God has planted each one of us here to serve him in the position that he wants you to serve. There's no doubt in my mind tonight, as I stand before you, that God planted me here to pastor this church. For 30 years I've been pastoring this church. For 30 years I've known that this was the will of God for my life. It's still God who planted me here. I'm his. I'm his for him to work and to lead and guide and direct in whatever way he chooses. All I have to be faithful to is to realize, God, I'm yours first of all. And I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be planted wherever you want me to be planted. I will serve you in whatever capacity that you want me to serve you. When I got saved, I've been in a couple different churches. I just wanted to serve. When I got my heart right with God, Want me in the Jet Cadets? I'll work in the Jet Cadets. You know, you want me to be a youth pastor? I'll be a youth pastor. If you want me to do this, I'll do that. Whatever you want me to do. I had no aspirations of ever being a pastor. I just wanted to serve the Lord. And God made it very clear to me, and God placed me here to pastor this congregation and have been here for 30 years. Every member needs to know, likewise, that God placed you here. I tell people all the time when I'm visiting with them, I said, there's only one reason to leave a church, and there's only one reason to join a church, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. If you leave or join a church for any other reason, you're out of the will of God. He's the one. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, and as it pleased him. The Holy Spirit of God inside of you makes you God's child. He's going to lead you and plant you where he wants you to be. Now, there's signs and there's reasons to understand and know it's when God wants to move us. But it is very difficult. But yet God has a purpose and his will for every one of our lives. But everyone needs to know you're where God wants you to be. Now, you need to be willing to stay there for your life, but be willing to go whenever God calls you somewhere else. I often tell people, if this church would ever stop preaching and teaching the Bible, if this church would ever stop looking to Jesus Christ as being the head, the final authority, as the authority of this church, then you need to leave this church and you need to go to where one is doing the truth based on the Word of God, doing the work that God's called us to do. You're accountable for you and where God plants you and where you serve. The church, because it is based on leadership, it's based on a lot of different things, and if the leadership ever gets their eyes off of God and starts going in a different direction outside of how God has directed, then you are accountable for you, and you'll stand and give an account for you in the church that God planted you in. Whether it's time for you to understand it's God's time for you to be planted somewhere else, or if you leave without the will of God, or if you join without the will of God, it's very important that we seek the will of God and knowing I'm where God wants me to be. And so I know beyond the shadow of doubt, for the last 30 years, I'm in perfect will of God, serving as the pastor of this church. In order for the church to function properly, first of all, every member, knowing this is where God led you. And with that, the Bible says there should be no schisms in the body. No divisions. Ephesians in chapter 4. Look there with me. Now, we will not give an account for somebody else causing divisions in God's church, in Christ's body, but we will give an account for ourselves if we are causing divisions in Christ's church. Amen. And the Bible says this in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. It says, "Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation wherewith you are called." Getting back to understanding, I'm where God wants me to be, called by God. "With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Every godly church member, if you are going to serve the Lord where God's planted you, you're going to have to obey this. And you will be faced with this at some point. Amen? You are going to be faced with learning how to forbear one another in love. Not everybody is in a good mood 24/7. Not everybody's in a good mood 7 days a week. And a member might be in one mood one Sunday and a different mood another Sunday. And you never know what's going on behind closed doors. You never know what a member has been through that week. You just see them on Sunday, possibly. Most of the time, that's when we see each other. Now we have different connections, but most of the time, we see each other on services. No one knows what the other has been through. Somebody's acting out of character, then you ought to forbear. And this ought to go through your mind. There must be a reason, and they need prayer. I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray for them. For the church to have unity, the membership has to have that kind of mindset. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring, because this is what you're endeavoring to do. This is what the key to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit is unified. And every member has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And the Spirit of God never leads in opposite directions. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who above all and through all and in you all. I love that. We all have it. And the only one in this church that you'll give an account for is you, as far as the unity of this church. So we must have unity if we're going to continue to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Every member needs to esteem every other member, but especially those that God has placed in leadership. Every member needs to esteem every other member. That is simply just having respect for and honoring them for whatever part that God has them here to fill. But he says this in verse 12 and 13. "And we beseech you, brethren," and we beseech you, brethren, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Being at peace among ourselves and realizing that God has placed a pastor in the church to feed the flock of God. God has placed a pastor in the church to be able to oversee the ministry of that local New Testament church. The Bible says that I'll give an account for that. The pastor will give an account for how he has pastored the church that God has called him to and planted him in. You won't give an account for whatever I do as a pastor. You will stand before God and give an account for your part in the membership of the church. And part of the responsibility of every member is to esteem the leadership of the church very highly for their work's sake. If we're not esteeming, if you're not able to have respect for the man of God that you're under, then you're in the wrong church. You can't be fed by someone that you do not respect. There has to be a high regard, a highest esteeming, a high respect for that one that you are going to submit yourself to and let God speak to you through the preaching and the teaching of His Word. Somebody that God has called. It's God's plan to feed the flock of God through the preaching and the teaching of His Word. It's God's plan. It's God's design. I've often said as a pastor, I need to believe that every member loves me. And if you don't tell me. Well, I pray for you, and as I break it down, I pray over the families of the church, and I'm asking God, use me to preach the messages that you will use to feed the flock of God. Only you know their needs, and there's so many different needs. Every time we assemble ourselves together, there's people that come here with so many different burdens, so many different spiritual needs. No way I can do that on my own. I can't, but God can do that. I found that God's led me to use a certain illustration or led me to say something. Maybe it wasn't even in the notes, but I just felt the Lord led me that went connected that. And that was exactly what somebody needed. God knows that. It's God's design. It's God's plan. I've just got to make sure that I've spent the time with the Lord to be sensitive to that. And you have to make sure that you spend enough time with the Lord to be sensitive to the position that He's given you for the church to be strong and to go forward. We must esteem God's men, and that includes our staff. That includes your Sunday school teachers. That includes those leaders in the church that we are going to have stand before you here before the night's over, those elected officers, so we might be able to esteem them for their work's sake, whatever that work might be. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians. These are just the truths about the church and how God's designed it and established it. They haven't changed for 2,000 years, and they won't change until the end of the church age. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order, the collection for the saints, the believers, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. All the churches in Galatia and all the other churches that are reading this as the Word of God, especially including the Lighthouse Baptist Church in this 21st century. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and there that there be no gatherings when I come. We must assemble ourselves together, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And one of the things that we want to do is we assemble ourselves together, and it is a responsibility of every member of the church to give tithes and offerings as God designed it. It's not the Baptist designed it. It's not this preacher designed it. It's God's church. It's His design. You have to understand that. Every member needs to know this is what God says. I am serving God and obeying Him by doing what God says to do. For the church to be able to accomplish everything that God has this church here to accomplish, we're going to have to, first of all, assemble instead of taking away services, possibly adding to our services, and everyone to be faithful to their position, everyone to be faithful to be able to come, support those assemblies of ourselves together, as you're doing here tonight, and when it's time to bring the offering that God would have that has blessed you. I believe that God blesses our people so that our people can be a blessing to the church. One of the reasons. If you want God's blessing you, then you'd be a blessing to His church. So tithes and offerings. This is what God has designed. For the church to function properly. For us to accomplish all that God would have us to accomplish. And then lastly here, and this is getting more down to their election, the church must have God's order. The church must have God's order. Titus in chapter 1, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Boy, bring it all together. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It's connecting it 21st century to when the world began. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. This is the church age, and what God would have the church to do is, in feeding the flock of God, preaching the word of God. through preaching which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Wherever there was a church, Titus was to go into Crete and to make sure that the order was the same. The order was the same. For there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. If we're going to do things decently in order, there has to be positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. The chain of authority is God. He gave Christ, which is his word. Before Jesus left, the word of God was given, and then the writers would write it, and it would be completed by the end of the apostolic age. He gave the church, and as he gave the church, then he gave positions that he has established in the churches. Positions that God's established in the churches. And so we want to make sure, if we're going to be a biblical church, and we have to have those positions that God has established, and we have to have them filled by those that have met those qualifications that God has established. Not what the church established. If it was what God's established, it will never change. Churches today are changing what they believe and what they want to see in those that they have put in positions in the church. There's the qualifications of a pastor. If you don't meet those qualifications, then God has not called you to be a pastor. There's qualifications for deacons. If you do not meet those qualifications, God has not called you into the church to be a deacon. But if you're in the church, God's called you to serve somewhere. We find that the qualifications for the pastor and the deacons found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and this is very well-known passages. I'm sure that everyone here would have read this and know these things to be true, but they're right there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, we find the two positions that have qualifications to them that are very important in the local New Testament church is pastor and deacon. So if we're going to have the church that God wants us to have here and established as God has established it, we have to have qualified men that meet these qualifications. And first of all, in the position of a pastor, and that would also be the same for any one of my staff men, because they're an extensions of the pastor. Every one of my staff are associates, and that means that there is extension of the pastorate here at this church. And so if they're an extension of me, then the church needs to look at them as extensions of the pastor and their positions that they hold. And so they have to meet these qualifications. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. Pastor, bishop, elder, same. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filth or lucre, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetousness. One that ruleth well his own house, having the children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so we find that's a position. Now, we don't have time to go into each one. We've done it in the past, but tonight, that's the qualifications. That has not changed since Jesus established his church. It will not change. Moreover, they're talking about the deacons now. Verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filth or lucre, holding the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. Let these also be proved. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must, that's not sinless, that is without blame, without living in sin. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanders. Does talk about the wives as well. Sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children, their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased themselves a good degree, great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So pastors and deacons, that is the qualifications. That's what God says, that if you're going to serve in that position, God will not call you that position unless you are qualified for that position. Romans in chapter 16. All other positions, every other position that we will have in election tonight, all other positions, I believe it can be brought, taken from this passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, a servant in the church, praise the Lord, that ye receive her in the Lord. The church is to receive her as a servant, in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Praise the Lord for others that are willing to be used in different positions. Can I tell you that all other positions fall underneath the heading of helpers in the church? Helpers in the church. We couldn't accomplish what we accomplished at Lighthouse Baptist Church if we didn't have all the help that we have in the church. And oh, how we need to appreciate everyone who's willing to help. Yeah. Amen. The church must have God's order. Understanding everyone's position in the church, understanding God's order in the church, which leads us into what we're doing tonight. The election of church officer. So at this time, I'd like to have the ushers go ahead and pass out the officer sheet.